Pastor Stephen, what would you say is the single most challenging thing about being a pastor?
Richard, I think the most single thing that would be what I would call difficult, and other pastors may agree or disagree because we're all in this, you know, different areas. But I think the most difficult thing for a pastor would be staying focused on the mission at hand, which what I mean by that is we live in distracting days, and you know, this is an election year. You know, sometimes there's things that's pulling at you that you're really wanting to get involved in or say something about or do something. But, you know, and not just that, not just the political front, but also just other things that pull at you. And God called us to ministry. God called us to be pastors, to feed the flock of God and to pray for the flock of God and to, you know, nurture them. He didn't call us to do any other things. As a pastor, we are an under shepherd of God's church. And so staying focused, I think, is the number one challenge of a pastor, is just not getting diverted from the mission, which is the Great Commission, to see people saved, to see people baptized and discipled. And so to me, I think that is the number one challenge. There's other smaller challenges like balancing family and ministry. You know, a lot of times that is a challenge, you know, but I think my challenge is staying focused on the mission at hand.
Now, as a pastor, do you often get encouraging feedback from a sermon that you've done?
I do. Matter of fact, I preached a sermon. We're going through the book of 1 Timothy right now, and every Sunday morning, verse by verse. And I just preached a message this past Sunday morning that, you know, Paul was really exhorting Timothy to stay there in Ephesus. And he encouraged him to stay gospel focused because of some false teaching that had crept in Ephesus. And I preached along those lines of staying focused on the gospel that Christ has given us. And we know Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Well, I went along those lines and got some wonderful feedback from our precious church members and attendees, and that always encourages me. You know, it encourages me. Not every message do I get, you know, feedback like that, but boy, when it does happen, it is so encouraging. People are receiving the word, and it blessed their hearts. So that's very important.
How do you go about choosing a sermon topic or a series, and how does God kind of communicate with you and inspire you?
So I may be a little different than some of the pastors that less listen, and maybe not, but I preach through books of the Bible. So what I do each year, or before January 1st, usually in the fall of the year that's coming, I will lay out what I call a preaching calendar, and I'll look at all 52 weeks, and I will look at my how many times I'm in the pulpit, which is mostly in our pulpit at Bible. And so I will pray over and choose certain books of the Bible that I feel like is going to really. So, for instance, I just finished 1 John a few weeks ago, and that took us about 14 weeks, something like that. And then before that, I went through the book of Zechariah, which is an Old Testament minor prophet. And it very, you know, this was something that was planned, but with everything going on in the world with Israel and with all the things, our people truly just enjoy going verse by verse through books of the Bible. Now, there's always Easter and Christmas season and Mother's Day, Father's Day. So sometimes I will preach a message that would be more to the theme of that, but I'm always kind of in a book of the Bible verse by verse, and it's always been so healthy for our church family.
So are you ever your own worst critic, that you sense maybe a sermon missed the mark or was not fully understood?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's always Monday morning. So Monday morning, you know, Sunday, you're kind of in the throes of it. We have multiple services on Sunday morning, so I get a chance to re-preach that message. But there's always that time where you're, and I know, I don't know how every pastor is, but I'll go back sometimes and watch the live stream and listen to myself. And I know that's crazy, but I'll listen and just, hey, could I said that better? Or, you know, that illustration, was that, you know, was that used in the right place? I mean, we've all, any pastor that's kind of honest in that area would agree that there's sometimes we're like, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? Or man, that message did not go over the way that I'd hoped it did. And so, yeah, we can tend to be, you know, our worst critics, but at the same time, he's promised that his word will not return void. And I believe that anytime we preach the word, that God's going to help somebody, and we just need to stay at it. It may not go over. We may not think that it's going over that well, but I believe sometimes that's when God is truly working on hearts.
So what do you wish people knew about what you and other pastors do behind the scenes that, you know, normally people aren't aware of?
Well, I wish people realized that we put our pants on the same way they do. And I've got four children at home. I've been married to the most wonderful woman in the world for nearly 20 years coming up. Just like everybody else has bad days and struggles, and you know, pastors do as well, you know. And I heard a statement just recently that, hey, we need to stop putting pastors on pedestals and put them in prayer lists. And I feel like that's a powerful statement, because when you put a man on a pedestal, and I understand everybody loves their pastor, and sometimes you want to almost look at him in a different light, but if they only knew the burdens that a pastor carried behind the scenes, you know, sometimes there's a financial burden of the church. Sometimes there's burdens within the church family, couples that are going through problems, or people he's maybe been counseling. Maybe there's a family that is, you know, not happy with things the way that, you know, so there's a lot of pressures that come along with it. And you know what? He has to go to that pulpit every Sunday and has to, and quote unquote, perform the way that the people expect him to. And often it's very hard because they can't see that broken heart that he carries, or maybe the fogginess of his mind. Maybe he's just struggling. Maybe he's discouraged, but he has to say, hey, I'm doing okay. And so I feel like if people understood that, they would be a little, you know, more compassionate about pastors. You know, there's certainly a dearth of pastors in our nation right now. I mean, there's churches right now that I know of that need pastors. And I think that's all denominations. I don't think it's just the Baptist. I think it's all denominations. And one of the reasons why is pastors are vulnerable, and they are it's often discouraged, and things are not going the way they had hoped or dreamed. And so, you know, they'll go through some of that. And so I wish people kind of would try to put themselves in our shoes just a little bit. And it is a calling, so sometimes it's hard to for them, and I understand that. But you know, that is one thing I wish that people kind of understood about a pastor. We are human, we are sinners, we are you know, we're made out of the same stuff you are, and we just have the calling of God in our life. And so we sinners need the word just like you do.
So what is a good way for someone to pray for their pastor and encourage them? Any ideas?
Yeah. So, you know, praying for your pastor is something that I think every Christian, every church member should put their pastor at the top of their prayer list. Not that we're more important than anybody else, but as goes the pastor, often goes, as goes the church. I mean, if the pastor is struggling and, you know, his heart is maybe not in the right place, then that church will struggle often. And I feel like when a pastor is encouraging the Lord, and man, he is just fired up and he's really just doing well, I feel like the church has a much better chance of pressing forward and thriving. And so if I was a layman in a church, if I was an attendee or a church member, I would put my pastor on a daily prayer list. And when I think of him, I would pray for him. And here's several ways that I would pray for him. First, I would pray for his health. I just got off the phone with a pastor a couple hours ago who's struggling in his health, and it's holding him back. And so I would pray for his health. I would also pray for his heart. I would pray that God would keep his heart from evil. And what I mean by that is often a pastor will maybe resign from the pastorate because of discouragement. But sometimes they have to resign because of moral failure. And, you know, we're seeing that too. And so I would pray for my pastor to keep him from evil. I would pray for his family. I would pray for his wife, because here's the deal. I know my limitations, and I know that my wife is she walks with God, and she is a very strong lady, and she makes up for my lacking. I promise you that. She encourages me. And so if my wife ever looked at me and said, I don't want to do this anymore, I would be at a great disadvantage. And I would have to think about what I'm doing, because my wife, we're a team. And so I would pray for my wife and his wife and pastor's wife. And then I would pray for their children. My son's going to college this Saturday, and we're dropping him off. And then, you know, we've got a senior in high school and a middle schooler, and then we've got a little one at home. And so, you know, just pray for their family, that God would keep them in a safe way. And it's very important to pray for your leadership in your church.
All right. Do pastors have pastors that they turn to, you know, someone that they could share confidentially and transparently with?
You know, I'm not sure that all pastors have that, but I think they all should. And every pastor should have a pastor. And I think that's a great question, Richard, because often I hear when I talk to other pastors is, hey, I have nobody to talk to. And, you know, everybody in my church, if they're struggling, they can come to me, but who do I go to? And that's a great question. And I feel like two reasons why they should have a pastor. Number one is sometimes you need someone to just pour your heart out to. Don't just unload on your spouse. I feel like it's time to, you know, when you're in the pastorate, find another pastor, preferably someone that has been in the ministry longer than you, not just a friend, but someone longer than you, a longer tenure pastor, someone that's had some battles, some season things. And so find a pastor. And then secondly, not just to for counseling, but also for accountability. So, you know, accountability in ministry is a very important thing. And, you know, someone that just, how are you doing? How's your prayer life? You know, what book of the Bible are you studying right now? How's your marriage? All these things that just keeps us accountable to somebody outside of our box. And that's healthy for me. I actually have two or three men that's like that in my life, that I can pick up the phone and call, and they can speak into me. I can talk to them. It's confidential. It's not like they're going to go around and blabber it to everybody or post it on social media. You need somebody that you have complete confidence in, that you know knows God, and that they will not tell, you know, and run out here and use it for ammo or whatever. They're going to use it for good and for edification, and sometimes for, you know, to exhort us or to admonish us in an area. We need those things in our life. And so I think every pastor should definitely have a pastor in his life.
When you find yourself involved in a conversation with someone who is not a member of your church, how do you share the importance of explaining to them that they need to find a good home church to grow in God?
Well, if it's somebody that is not connected to our church, you know, I'll often, you know, ask them, just if I'm having dealings with them, you know, maybe at a gas station or a bank or a grocery store or someone, we just start up conversation, or even a friend for that matter. Where do you go to church, or are you attending church somewhere? And if they really are not, I try to stress the importance of, you know, if they're saved, if they know the Lord as their Savior, they need to be in church, because to be honest, church is what helps us get closer to God. Now, I know we have our personal walk with Him, but as Hebrews tells us, Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us that we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why is that? Well, we need encouragement in these days. We also need to be fed from the word. So often God gives a church a pastor to feed that flock, even if it's not the members, it's people that just go and they'll hear something that maybe they've struggled with. And so it's very important that people have a church home, and not just say, hey, I'm a Christian and I do my own thing. I know I am the church, and technically we are, we make up the church. It's not a building. It's not an organization. It's not even a denomination that makes up the church. We are the church of Jesus Christ. Those that are saved, a called out assembly, but we often, as the New Testament church did, we meet together and we sing praises to God and then we pray together, which I think that's so important that people have someone they can come to with a prayer request and say, you know, would you pray for such and such? I need prayer. And then to have that person pray for them. So we all need to be a part of a church family. And I try to, when I encounter someone that doesn't have a church home, I invite them to our church if they're locally. But secondly, I try to get them into a church that they can grow, and a church that I know is going to, you know, love them and help nurture their growth in Christ. And so I think everyone needs to be a part of a church.
In your own growth as a Christian and as a pastor, looking back, is there any particular person who kind of pointed you in the right direction, made a big difference in your life?
Oh, yes. Richard, we don't even have the time on the air to really go through the list of people that has impacted my life greatly. But if I had to choose one, it would be my dad. My dad has pastored the same church for 40 years. And I grew up under his leadership and his love. And I worked with my dad at that church for nearly 14 years before moving here. And a faithful, faithful man that has impacted me greatly in my relationship with God, in my relationship with my wife. He and my mother have been married for almost 51 years. Wow. And been pastoring the same church for 40 years. And just when I think of a man that has just been faithful to the Lord, he's weathered storms just like everybody else. He's had quadruple bypass surgery about 12, 13 years ago. He has diabetes. He has neuropathy. He's got some blindness in his left eye. I mean, he's got some health issues that could easily set him back. And probably he could sit down and everybody would understand it. But he's still preaching, still pointing others to Jesus. And he and my mom have been happily in love for nearly 51 years. And so what a great example and a great heritage that I have to continue that legacy and that, you know, that just that love for Jesus. And then listening online, if I had another man outside of my dad that helped impact me, I don't know him directly, but and I know that's strange, but I've been impacted by his books and by his preaching is Dr. Jim Shaddix, which he's a wonderful professor. He just had a bout with brain cancer back in the first of the year and had surgery. It was a major surgery. And so we've been praying for him. But his preaching through the years on podcast and on online and just listening to him, he doesn't even know me, I don't think. But he has indirectly affected me in my preaching. He's an expositor, and so very thankful. Dr. Adrian Rogers, for many years, his preaching, and others I could go into, just faithfulness into the ministry. Some of them are in heaven now, but I thank God for their influence on my life and ministry. And then, of course, you know, there's some men that are in our neck of the woods that are very faithful men as well down in the southern part of the United States that I love and just admire, and their churches are great churches.
For someone who may be considering becoming a pastor, what nutshell initial advice would you suggest for them?
Well, if you're considering becoming a pastor, and Richard, I believe, because I believe that that question, we need pastors. Like I said that earlier, there is a dearth of pastors in our nation today. There's statistics all out there saying that there's churches every day losing pastors. And I believe that. Seminary numbers are down across the board, from what I understand, and Bible college numbers and enrollment, especially in the ministry fields, are down. The college itself may be up, but the ministry enrollment classes and stuff are down. And I, you know, there's a lot of reasons we could point to that, but there's certainly a need. But if a man was considering the pastoral role of ministry, and really thinking that God would, I would really, first of all, bathe it in prayer, and really know, because here's the last thing you want to do. You don't want to get into the pastorate for a career. What I mean by that is you don't want to just say, yeah, I think I'm just going to be a pastor. That is something that I believe God calls a person to. And, you know, it's not something that we choose. I know my dad's been pastoring for 42 years. He's pastored two churches, one for two and a half years, the other one for this December will be 40 years. But my dad did not choose the career of, he was a coal miner, a West Virginia coal miner. He didn't choose to pastor because he didn't have nothing to do or he wanted out of the coal mines. He chose, rather God chose him to lead the flock. And so, you know, the last thing someone wants to do is to jump in the ministry when there really wasn't a calling there. I'm a pastor because God wanted me to be a pastor. I didn't choose pastoring. Pastoring kind of chose me. And so that's a big thing. But the second thing I would do outside of the prayer is I would get training. I would go to a place, a seminary, Bible college, seminary, and I would actually get trained from fellow pastors or pastors, seasoned pastors that could pour into me. And I would get my bachelor's and a Bible degree. I would get my master's. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to do all that at one time. Some of that you can do while you're pastoring, but whatever case, and some ask, well, what if I got called to ministry in my 30s or my 40s? Well, I would still get some training. Of course, you're going to need that. But God is not just calling young people. God is calling. And here's what I believe, Richard. I believe that God is calling. What I also believe is that few are answering. And, you know, God has not changed. The calling of God, he said, is not without repentance. I mean, he doesn't change his mind about the call. It's often we are the ones that are not answering. And so I would do that. I would bathe it in prayer. And then secondly, I would get some training for the ministry, because I'll be honest, when you're put out in the ministry, no matter where you are, I'm in South Carolina, but no matter where you are, California, Maine, Florida, Texas, doesn't matter. The middle of the America, doesn't matter. People are the same, and the word will work wherever you preach it. And so you just got to understand there's going to be battles and there's going to be things that come along that no Bible college could prepare you for. 2 years into my ministry here, our church was vandalized and burned down. 2 years here, my second year as pastor, we had to relocate because of vandalism. And so nobody told me that in Bible college. Nobody taught me how to handle that. I just had to trust God, but I was called here. There was parts of me that wanted to leave, but I was called to this place, and I thank God by his grace that he kept me here. And so understand your calling, and if that's where you feel like God is wanting you at, I would then pursue training and get that degree and get that backing and get that information and knowledge that you need for the ministry.
All right. Pastor Stephen Cox, I thank you so much for sharing your heart with us.
Yes. I was privileged to do so, Richard. You've been a great, great host.